You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is the very chatty Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are here on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And we're also heard on the World Wide Web. All over the place, Miss Ellen.
Yes, we are. We are on SitaMediaInc.com as our website, and all of our 11 years of our shows every week for the last 52 weeks is on that website. So you can look it up by name or you can look it up by topic. Certainly, all of our information is stored on the 1510 WWBC On Demand site as well. And if you're listening right now on the radio and you'd like to get it on your device, you can just go to that 1510WWBC.com. Click the on-demand button, and you'll be able to hear us live right from your radio or from your device, any device.
And I missed you guys last week. Both of you guys were gone.
I know.
And
you too. But you did a fantastic job, and it was a great show with Linda.
We did.
Muhlenberg.
Well, you know, the payback is I have to attend, not that I have to, but I said I would attend the event tonight in MIMS. Where there's going to be people talking about the pros and cons of having fluoride in the water in MIMS.
So
and MIMS is an hour away from where I live, so but, you know, a deal is a deal.
Right, but you should say, I get to go.
Yes.
I get to go.
Yeah, I get to go.
And you're a woman of your word.
But you know something, fluoride in the water has been something that I didn't realize that was a hot topic until I heard the show and I looked it up and I was like, wow, there are lots of benefits. And Johnny Johnson, who was the dentist that was on the show, gave a lot of great insight, so I was impressed.
Well, you know, there's 8,000 people in MIMS that are going to be affected if the county commission continues with this push to remove the fluoride from the water.
Right. Exactly.
And I learned a lot too, which was great. But anyways, for listeners who are tuning in today, we have an action-packed show today lined up. We've got a friend of mine. That, of course, I met on Facebook. Where else? Sumi Mukherjee is calling in, and he's an author, and he's a public speaker, and he's going to be talking a little bit about his book, Minority Viewpoint. He's going to talk about his experience as a person of color with the American justice system, and I must say that some of the things he wrote about I can identify with as a woman of color, as an Indian lady, and just a human being in the world, you know. And our second segment, our friend Christy Stewart is here, and she's the executive director of Love, Inc. I love your nonprofit name. So
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, and so we're going to have you speak with us later about your faith-based nonprofit organization that is doing so much here to help people in need. And you do it in such a dignified way, and you do it as well as by empowering people in our town. So I just love what you do, and that would be a great segment for us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I know Sumi's on the phone. So for our listeners who are tuning in to listen to Sumi Mukherjee, Ellen O'Neill.
Very good. Thank you.
Forget about the little at this point. No, not really. Ellen O'Neill, Samantha, and I, we get together every Monday here in the studio, and we kind of sort of pay a little rent to Paul, so we could use this room and use his microphones, because nothing in the world is free, except maybe the stimulus. And so Sumi's calling in, and he's going to talk with us this morning a little bit. Hey, Sumi, thank you for taking the time to call in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you very, very much. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. And as you could see, our show is fun. It's unscripted. It's very educational, wonderful. And we give out a lot of information to the public, whether they want it or not.
Yes.
Okay, that's the way to do it.
Well, you know, there's something about when you turn 50, and for some people maybe even 40, mm-hmm. you become older and bolder and wiser. And the good thing about it is you sort of kind of know the path that your life has taken at that point, and it really is a path of goodness and kindness. And, you know, you want to leave the world a better place than you found it for the next generation. And for me, who have grandchildren, I want to leave it a place where my grandson could grow up and have a good life and have a good education and give back to society the way we did. So it's kind of like having a show like this and knowing that freedom of speech comes at a responsibility for us three ladies, Samantha, Ellen, and myself, is a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's the way it should be done.
Yes. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, because I could read off your bio, but what you're on, so we might as well hear it from you. Tell us a little bit about
yourself.
Exactly.
Might as well go straight to the horse's mouth, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, my name is Sumi Mukherjee. I'm 45 years old, which my nieces, by the way, think is really, 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 really old. And I try to convince them that, you know, I don't feel that old, but I still feel kind of young. You know, I got a young side to me. So, yeah, I'm 45. I'm an author and a public speaker, sort of a motivational speaker. I've written and published four books. I'm working on my fifth. They all kind of have to do with issues in society that affect people, and sort of like with a self-help kind of flair to them of how to deal with real-life situations that are very difficult and taxing, that happened to me or to people I know. And I ended up learning a lot that I may personally never have to use again, but this is information that can enrich and help countless other people that might find themselves going down the same path. So that's kind of what my mission is.
Right. And your book, you've experienced things that everyday human beings experience, which is bullying and anxiety and depression, obsessive compulsive disorder. I don't know a lot of people with that, but I do know people with it.
My son has it.
Yeah, and it's what you're going to be speaking about with our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today is the topics that we really need to be talking about in our culture. Indian culture, we sweep a lot of things under the rug. And I when I read your book, I was happy that you said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah, I think the only way that we're ever going to change racial discrimination in any meaningful, lasting way is by talking about it and bringing attention to it and educating people about it. It's lack of education and ignorance that allows these kind of things to develop and those racist feelings to fester. It's all spawned from ignorance. And the only way we can do it is educate, talk, empower people, and teach people how to fight back without violence.
So what prompted you to write your latest book, Minority Viewpoint, and what are some of the key messages you hope to convey to people?
Well, that's a really good question. I wrote this book because I believe there are several things that one can learn, specifically Asian Americans or any persons of color can learn from this story. One key message is that there is significant racism in the United States, especially in smaller cities and towns. One really needs to be aware of this and keep your eyes open. And then the second message is about dealing with the legal community. That was a completely brand new learning experience for me. And I'm talking about lawyers, law firms, etc., and the rest of the justice system, such as police officers, judges. And again, you know, these are things that most normal people, you know, that are normal, law-abiding, good people like you and I are, we're just going about our lives. We don't necessarily bother to educate ourselves on the legal system because we don't ever plan to be involved in the legal system. But then if you find yourself in a situation like this where something so egregious was done to me that I felt the only way to repair my reputation was to file a defamation lawsuit against a citizen, I suddenly found myself dealing with a legal system that was entirely foreign to me, and I kind of got screwed every which way. And I wanted to prevent that for the next person that unwittingly is the victim of something malicious, something vindictive by another individual, and they find themselves in a similar situation where their personal safety is at risk, their professional reputation is at risk. And the other key message really I wanted to give is that the best way to fight back against these kind of things is to write about it and talk about it rather than act out with violence. I think that's a very important thing that the world needs to understand.
What you're discussing, Sumi, is something called red tape. A lot of oftentimes people get caught up in these situations where it goes on forever and forever. And as you go, as it goes along, you learn, oh my gosh, this is really weird, because like you say, you weren't expecting to be involved in the legal system. But the other thing is, you know, I disagree with you a very little bit, a little slightly, not 100%, but a little bit. I think America is very welcoming. Are there racist people? Yes. But the country itself, I think, because, you know, I lived in Chicago, I lived in Indiana, we live here in Florida. And my children, my husband was the only Persian / Iranian in the town in Marion, Indiana. And they treated us extremely well. Because we respect people, and I think when you respect people, they respect you back. And so, and the children and I as well. But you know what? It took a lot of getting to know the neighbors, getting to know the people, finding our little tribe and our little community, because my son was dark, my daughter was dark. And so we had to say, well, you know, we're Indians, that's where we're from, this is what we eat. And drink. And we found that once people got to know you and they trust you and respect you, it's kind of like what you put out in the world is what you get back. So I do understand what you're saying about the small towns and racism and all that. But I found that the only way to combat that was to open my mouth and to speak with people and communicate. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you're exactly correct in what you just said, because even in those very small towns, I have lots of friends and loved ones now that I've acquired over the years, and they don't have a single racist bone in their body. So you're absolutely correct. But it does exist. And once in a while, fortunately, it's not something you have to encounter in a bad way every day, but it's out there, and once in a while it can get you, and that's kind of what this story is about. But I completely agree with you.
Yeah, because I remember when we moved to Marion, Indiana, there was a large Indian community, but they were not all from Marion, Indiana. Some were from Kokomo, some were from Fort Wayne, and all of a sudden you meet one, and then you meet everyone. And so we were getting these invitations to all these people's houses, and the food, and the parties, and the dancing, And although Ahmed was from Iran, I was from Indian, so they kind of took us in. And then he would always joke, well, they really took us in because of me, not because of you. You know? But we're still friends with a lot of people up to today. And actually, some of the doctors would say, yeah, we took you in because of him, you know, because he was the doctor, not me, you know. So it was like a status thing as well. But so why do you suspect that your race may have been a factor in the hotel employee when she spoke with the police? Because I kind of felt that way too. When I read your book, I can see her in the front, in the lobby at the desk, and I could see her watching you a little bit cockeyed and saying, ooh, what is he doing here with all these little white children? And I thought, she has it in for Sumi from the minute he walked in the door with the children. Tell us a little bit about the kids. Tell us, how did you end up in that hotel lobby with the children, and what were you doing there?
Yeah, well, I was actually, it's a really nice story. I dated a woman in Plymouth, which is the city where I live, in sort of in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis area. And I had, the relationship didn't work, but I stayed very close with her children and her family, her mother, her kids and stuff. And I was kind of like an uncle father figure to them. And it turned out that the oldest daughter found out that her grandma, my ex's mom, just had come down with cancer. So we had planned, so the grandma actually asked me that, hey, you know, because I knew some other kids that were other friends of mine that were the same age as my ex's kid. And so the grandma said, hey, why don't you come with those kids, stay at a hotel, and kind of just, you know, give Amanda, I call my ex's daughter in the book Amanda, they said, you know, give Amanda a good weekend, you know, and stuff, and have some fun for her, and let her forget about the fact that, you know, her grandma's just been diagnosed with cancer.
But, you know, so Amanda has to bring her friend. That's the way things work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kids have to bring their friends. Exactly. So that's kind of how it worked. And to make a long story short, so I was at that hotel because that hotel was near where actually where Amanda's young friend lived. And they had recommended that that's a good hotel to stay at because it's near everything up there. And they lived in a very, very, very tiny town called Deerwood, Minnesota. Population is about 500. Where I live in Plymouth, it's about 80,000. So it's a little bit of a difference there. And so I was chaperoning the group at the hotel pool, just, you know, having the kids have a good time and stuff. And that's kind of where that's what brought me into the hotel, I guess, to answer your question. And then so several of my white friends, before I went up there, actually, several of my white friends had warned me against going up there. And had kind of said that they felt my white friends, which means a lot to me, because sometimes, you know, I mean, it's not the fault of, you know, people that are Caucasian. They just simply don't experience this because they're not brown or black people of color. So it just hasn't happened to them. It's not their fault.
Yeah, you probably stuck out like a sore thumb in a town of 500 people.
I think so. And not just a town of 500, but a town that, you know, I mean, Minneapolis in the city, there's, you know, black people, there's people of all, you know, Hispanic people, Native American people, Asian people, there's people of all races in the Twin Cities. But up there, I think there's just kind of only one race, and they just don't see or know anything about anybody that doesn't look like them. And it's really sad, and it really comes from a place that, and again, there's a lot of nice people up there that didn't care what color I was and met me and were fine. But I think there's maybe a higher percentage of those that just don't have a clue. And I think that's what I was dealing with this employee at the Country Inn in Deerwood, Minnesota, Lisa Vipperman. But to answer your question, several of people had warned me about this. It was clear to me that then when I went there, I against some objections, I said, you know, I want to do this for Amanda, and this is really important. Your grandma's battling cancer. She's kind of going through a depression right now. She wasn't supposed to find out even, but she found out through family, and so blah, 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 here we are. It was clear to me that the employee, Lisa Vipperman, absolutely did not like me the very first time she saw me. And like you said, you have to think that for someone not to like you upon first glimpse of you, there really isn't. I mean, she doesn't know anything about me. I don't know anything about her. We've never met in life in any other way. We don't have mutual friends or anything. There was no other reason other than she looked at me and she didn't like me. And
yeah.
I couldn't right away gather why that was. And I was chaperoning 6 or 7 white children.
Yeah.
Small
and you know what it is too? Even here, I know, like, from experience, even here in Florida, if you see a man comes in with 5 or 6 kids, some people right away, their mind goes into, oh, what is he doing here with these kids? Is it human trafficking? Is he trying to have a relationship with these kids? And worst of all, now you're taking them in a pool where these two young girls are wearing bathing suits. So, you know, people, they have these notions and minds that they can't see, like, you are the uncle with your niece and other people. So that's the sad thing about humanity. People try to think about the worst things first, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's true. And in this situation, it was that's not exactly how it went down, because if that had really been her concern, she could have just called the police and done a welfare check right on the spot. She could have said, you know, hey, I work at this hotel. There's this gentleman that's come in that is from the Twin Cities, because I have his information on my computer. I know he's from 2 hours away, a town 2 hours away. There's a bunch of kids with him, 2 of whom I recognize are local kids. And I just wanted the police to come here and just ask him a few questions, do a welfare check, make sure that these children's parents know that their minor children are in this person's company, that he's a safe person to be around them, and then they can be on their way. I don't have any other problem. She could have done that, but that's not what she did.
That's correct.
That's not how this went down. In fact, she asked the kids when I had stepped into the restroom. She asked the kids, "How do you know this guy?" And they said, "He's like our uncle.
Yes,
he's like an uncle to us."
And you were extremely nice to those kids too. I would have really loved it if you could have been with my children at that age. Really.
Yes.
A good uncle.
Everybody that meets me tells me that, that I wish I could have had an uncle like you. Yes, I hear that a lot. Thank you.
Sumi, why do you think she mentioned to the police that you were sexually, that she was sexually abused as a child?
She mentioned to the police that I was, that she believed I had been sexually abused as a child.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's important to put a little context into that question as well, that this employee, Lisa Vipperman, at the Country Inn in Deerwood in Minnesota, she basically, from the moment I walked in, she gave me the cold shoulder. She wasn't treating me very politely. And normally, you know, hotel staff treat guests like, you know, the guest is a king or a queen, right? And it was completely the opposite. And eventually, she got very rude and belligerent at the pool towards me and towards the kids. And then I took a stand against her. I told her that I shouted back and I told her, you treat me with respect. I'm your guest. And then when I left, and so when I checked out of the hotel a day later, I sent a lengthy written complaint, polite, fair, but lengthy, a written complaint to the owner of the hotel. And the owner of the hotel wrote me back saying, I'm so sorry this happened at my hotel. I will address the staff that created this issue. I apologize if my staff were out of line. And thank you for being a guest of my hotel. This will never happen to you again.
And I liked your letter. I liked your letter. I thought it was well written. And I felt sorry that it happened, really. But we have about 4 minutes left. So I want to ask you really quick, what did you learn from the experience with the legal community? You said a little bit in the intro, but what else did you learn? Because you lost, I mean, you were... I felt bad for your parents. $100,000 you spent on this lawsuit, and she had representation from the hotel, but you had to pay out of your pocket.
Free, yes. Yep.
She had free, and you had to pay over $100,000, and you still didn't win the case, but you're able to write your book and tell us about what happened.
Yes, I think I will summarize that really quick for you, and I know we're running it short on time, but I would just request anybody that is interested in hearing the full, entire, detailed story, please visit authorsumi.com, A-U-T-H-O-R, authorsumi.com, and click on Minority Viewpoint. That has all the details. But to answer your question quick, what I learned about the legal community is that you have to be very, very careful when you deal with a lawyer, unfortunately. I learned that many of the so-called jokes we hear about lawyers are true. It can be very difficult to trust one. Many lawyers are looking out for themselves and their firms and not necessarily always focused on you as the client. Now, that is different if you have a contingency arrangement. A contingency arrangement where the attorney takes your case and they work for free and then they get a percentage of whatever you and your attorney win in the case. In that sense, your attorney has a real skin in the game, and they have every reason to try as hard as they can to do their best job for you, because if you don't get paid, they don't get paid. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. And you're...
Yeah, but...
go ahead. But you didn't get anything back from him. That attorney, actually, he saw that you used other lawyers after him. What was his... what did he say to you when he saw you in the courtroom? Was he sorry that he had taken all that money and no results?
No, he basically, he never gave an answer to me directly. His bosses said that, hey, it's too bad that the judges ruled wrong. And in reality, what the judges said was that basically my lawyer did not find the evidence we needed to survive summary judgment. And that was something my lawyer should have known and should have found. Whereas the firm just said, oh, it's the judge's fault. All the judges are wrong. And I didn't believe that all the judges were wrong.
Yeah.
I felt that there were things that our lawyer unfortunately didn't let us know, and that's what I share in this book, that and I did not have a contingency. That's why I was paying out of pocket. This lawyer denied me a contingency arrangement, and that should have been a red flag right away that this was not a lawyer to go with for this case. That should have been a red flag right off the bat, but I didn't know. I was naive about legal matters. I'd never dealt with the legal system or a lawsuit before, like most average people haven't. And so I learned from that, and I'm sharing a lot of those lessons in Minority Viewpoint.
Yes, and you know what I learned from that too is your parents really love you, Sumi. They stood by you when nobody else would, and I don't know them, but I love them for that, because you were at your despair at what had happened to you based on how somebody perceived you to be, it was not a good thing. So tell us, where can we find your books? Where can somebody buy it if they wanted to buy it?
Oh, well, thank you so much. And yes, there's a lot more to share. And yeah, they're all available at my website, Author Sumi, A-U-T-H-O-R, like the word author, authorsumi, S-U-M-I, .com. And they're all four of my written and published books are available there. And my fifth one will be published hopefully in the not too distant future.
So before you leave, can you, I have 1 minute left. Can you tell me the other two books you wrote? You wrote it about bullying and you wrote it about the mental health impact on bullying. How did that affect you?
It affected me. Actually, my other three books, my first one is about bullying and the impact bullying has on mental health. And then the other two are about preventing sexual abuse of children and then standing up for your rights at the workplace.
Yeah. And did your parents believe you when you told them that you were being bullied in school or by other people, or did they try to just sweep it under the rug?
Oh, they absolutely 100%, 150% believed me and validated me and stuck up for me, were there for me. And they validated how I felt. And I think even though it was a time and a place in the 1980s, 1990s where bullying, there was no social media, there was no anti-bullying movements or anything. So a lot of the things they tried to do to help me actively did not work. They fell on deaf ears with the school, the administration, other kids' parents, so on and so forth. But they validated me. And that's the number one thing I think that a parent needs to do if their kid is being bullied, is you validate them and you let them know that it's not their fault. They're not being, you know, they're not being fussy or anything like that. That there are some cases where, a lot of cases actually, where kids are really very, very abusive repeatedly over time to another individual. And that should not, cannot be allowed.
Yeah.
And hopefully our world is changing in that respect. But they validated how I felt. And that's what got me through it.
And Sumi, you have a tie to Melbourne, Florida, too, which I was happy about that. Tell our listeners a little bit quickly. What do you know about Melbourne, Florida?
Well, my memories are a little bit faint, so you'll have to forgive me, but I was a toddler there. My parents grew up in India. They met in Canada. I was born in Calgary. I lived the first 9 months of my very, very young life in Canada, and then they became American citizens and settled in Melbourne, Florida for a couple years while I was a toddler, 1, 2, and 3 years old. So I do have memories of it. I have memories of the house I lived in, the swimming pool in the backyard and stuff. And I visited that house several years ago when I went on a speaking trip for one of my books in Florida. But so yeah, Florida has a special place in my heart, always will.
Okay, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in, Sumi. I'll catch up with you. I'll call you or I'll catch up with you on Facebook Messenger, and we will post all your information on our website. Ellen will take it from here.
Yes, thank you so much for calling.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. And folks, we're going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back after these messages with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are back here in our studio in sunny Cocoa Flor. It is sunny today, guys.
It is.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day. I woke up this morning, I'm like, what a beautiful day God has made for us. I know. Yeah, I know. And so we're on 90 FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, AM 1510. And Ellen, we're heard all over online. And people are still texting me about how they could download the show. So you better say something about that today.
Yeah, you can download any of the shows. Usually within a few days, right off of our on-demand section on the website. So if you just hit on-demand, you'll be able to pick the date and have that show downloaded. Or if you just wait a couple of days, I usually have those posts up with a nice little picture of what we look like in the studio. So we tell people all the time, you don't have to necessarily dress for radio, but just keep in mind that we do take a lot of
pictures. But we do dress nicely.
Yeah. Well, maybe we take a lot of pictures. My step, Ellen, because I have a problem with the elderly in my family and getting them to understand what to press.
Yes.
I'm like, go to the day on the calendar.
Yes.
So I need a little instruction.
So Christy is here. Christy is here, and she's a good friend of mine, and she's going to talk a little bit about her faith-based organization called Love, Inc. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So refresh our memory and tell our listeners a little bit about what Love, Inc. does here in Brevard.
Yeah. So it's Love in the Name of Christ, not incorporated. And we are actually an international nonprofit. We've got 130 plus in the United States and 7 in Nairobi, Kenya. We have 6 here in Florida, and we have been here in Brevard County for 18 years. And so our mission is to mobilize the church, right? The Big C church, Christians with their gifts, talents, and resources to fill that mandate to help people in need. And then the people that we help, it's a hand up, not a hand out. So they really have to be part of the process and have a buy-in as well.
Right. You're just not going to give it and, you know, get a result back.
That's right.
And that's how it should be.
Yes.
So Christy Stewart, I love your name.
Thank you.
How did you get involved with Love, Inc.?
Well, basically, I had heard about the organization, and I was super busy at the time and just, you know, had a heart for what they were doing and started volunteering. So I was a volunteer for about 2 years when they hired me on. And now I've been with Love, Inc. for 10 years.
Yeah.
I've been the executive director now for 4 years.
Yeah,
you're teaching surf lessons yet?
I'm not teaching surf lessons.
Okay, just making sure. Just checking.
And you've watched it grow in the 10 years
yes.
you've been with Love, Inc.
Yes. Yes, tremendously. It's been really cool. To see, really, you know, Brevard County has a great sense of unity. And I'm sure you have heard about City Fest, which we had in March, but it was a great time for businesses to come together, the church to come together, and just really have an outreach to really further Brevard County for Christ and really, really digging in and help people in need and helping them out of that situation they may be in.
Yeah. And your Love, Inc. has a lot of programs. Mm-hmm. You guys do a lot of stuff with the community. So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends some of the programs that you offer and some of the things that you're doing there for the community.
Yes. Well, one thing I love about Love, Inc. is we try not to duplicate what's already being done well in the community. So we have a bunch of businesses that we partner with, lots of other nonprofits, lots of agencies, because we want to bring all those pieces together. We really see ourselves as the ligaments in bringing people together to help people in need. And if I could just share a story, I think it'll help you see some of the things that we do pull together. So we had a lady in her 70s that was referred to us. And when we asked her what her need was, she said, "I need money," which we know is an indication of something deeper. And we do a pretty extensive intake because we want to understand your finances, who's your community, you know, where else have you gone for help. And so we saw that she had a payday loan. So we asked her if she would be willing to give that up because it's predatory lending. A lot of our clients get stuck in this cycle. If you don't know what that is, it's where you go and you can't pay your bill. And so they give you a loan. A month later, you pay that loan back up at back with 25% interest.
Yes.
So she said, "I'm not willing to give that up." And we said, "No problem. We're just going to love her right where she was." Well, then her car broke down. So we work with an auto partner that will give our clients a discount because they're working hard to get sustainable. So he looked at her car and he said, "This car's not worth fixing." So when we went to tell her, it turns out she had bought it at one of those pay here, pay now places on the side of the road. It was actually the second car that she had bought that had broken down. So when she called him to tell him, unbeknownst to her, they had taken the loan on the first car and tacked it on the second car. And so she had no working vehicle and owed thousands of dollars. So we said to her, "Can we, you know, advocate for you?" So she said yes. And we just came together that day and prayed. We were like, "This is a mountain only God can move." Called them up. It was a 5-minute conversation. The lady said, "Have her tow it back to us and we'll expunge the loan." So we were just like really excited and her faith grew. And then we asked her to take our budget mentoring class, which is for people that may not have anything, but it's one-on-one. So we were able to help her come out of that. She started her own dog walking business. And then we had a car donated to us that was perfect for a single person. So we were able to sell her that car for like $250, and that money goes right back into auto repair. It's just a way of saying, "I have owned that car." And then we had somebody come in and take care of her payday loan. And then we got her into mental health counseling. She had a lot of trauma from childhood. And so she graduated from mental health counseling to group counseling. And she was with us for 2 years. So transformation is long and hard.
Right.
But when you look at that story, every piece of that was the church. So somebody volunteered to take her through budget mentoring. As long as she was moving forward, we were helping her with gas cards and food cards and bus passes. You know, the person that donated the car and the business that helped. So you can see all the
people. And you created a
business
owner too.
Yes.
You helped her mental health.
Absolutely.
She opened her own business. So now she can sustain herself.
That's right.
Right. And that's what you want.
The beautiful picture. Yeah.
What's the vision for the future?
Well, what's the vision for the future?
Samantha likes that
the hardest. Sorry. No, it's beautiful. So, you know, what we're looking for in the future is right now, Love Inc. is primarily in the southern part of the county. And so we're hoping starting next year that we can move into the central part of the county and the north part of the county. Now, we do have partner churches in the central part of the county, but really for us to be successful there is the buy-in from the local church. So we'll be looking to get, you know, 10 or 15 partner churches in the central Cocoa area, Merritt Island area, and then Titusville as well. And then we'll just continue to bring businesses and agencies together to help those people in need as they work hard to get.
Yeah, because you have a great vision, Christy. Because you're
her
not.
Fashion,
yeah, well,
about,
well, you're not going to say,
thank
well,
you.
Well, we want to help you and give you a food card, and then you could go to Walmart and buy your food. You're saying, wait a minute, before I give you this food card, let me find out a little bit about you.
Yes.
I want to know where you're coming from and where you're planning to go.
Yes.
Right?
Remember, we talked a long time ago, Yasita, you and I, about the fact that they took home ec out of high school probably 35 or 40 years ago. And parents that were working two jobs to try and keep their families afloat, they didn't have time. All they told the kids was that the power's being shut off. They didn't tell them that there was, you know, how to do a financial budget,
right.
How to have a household
take
budget.
Take two stones and rub it together and make a spark.
Well, or how to be resourceful and figure things out and to think outside the box a little bit. So a lot of the folks, I don't consider them victims necessarily, but I certainly, victims of education. yes. like our lack of education. So yes. we have to go into all of these things, much like what Loving does, yes. go into this with the forethought of, let's just educate people, because it's not that they want, nobody wakes up and says, I want to be poor today,
right.
or let me see how my car can break down today. Nobody does that.
Right.
Everybody wakes up with best intentions. I really do believe
and
that.
And Samantha.
And unfortunately, they just don't have the resources to be able to fix it.
Right.
And that's what Loving provides.
Samantha, what I like, which Christy's saying as well, is the creative side of Loving.
Yes.
You guys are being, encouraging people to be very creative.
Yes.
You but know.
You're also teaching them, which sometimes yes. people have that. Like you said, your budgeting class. That's amazing. I had to teach my son what credit is, because without credit, you're nothing.
Right.
Nowadays, unfortunately.
This is true.
Yeah.
I had to teach him what credit is, what yes. budgeting is, what we really pay for.
Well,
bills.
That's what yes. you're being
because
a good parent.
A
like Ellen said, you're being a good parent,
yeah.
But some
they don't
people
have a concept.
Some people well, got it in school before.
And I remember one of my nieces saying to me, I said, I don't have the money for that right now, and trying to explain to her a little bit about money and how all that works. And she goes, just take that card out of your purse.
Oh,
no. Like
God.
It's yeah. just magic, right? And she, you know, she was four.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, yeah. you know, it wasn't like I expected her to know like financial impact of things. But
yes.
nonetheless, it was her intention and her mind was that, you
just
swipe card.
You still yeah. got to pay the bill.
Right. So Christy, do you have any barriers that interfere with the work that you're doing at Love, Inc.?
Well, let me just say on a side note on this subject with education, we are community partners with Brevard County Schools, and they are starting to put tech classes in the high schools to help overcome and teach and train our youth.
Budget.
So that's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Write
awesome.
A check. Hold on. Write a. Yeah, yeah. Do you have any barriers with your organization?
Language or otherwise?
Well, we have, we do have, we're 95% volunteer based, and we are very, very blessed to have bilingual volunteers. For the most part, that is not a barrier for us.
Yeah. But you need more volunteers.
Absolutely.
You always need more volunteers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think absolutely we need more volunteers. We have a thrift store. Our thrift store at 100% goes back into helping people here in Brevard County through Love, Inc. And so we have lots of opportunity there in our thrift, you know, in our thrift store.
Where is the thrift store?
The thrift store, we're in Melbourne, so we're at the corner of Apollo and Sarna. So it's 830 Apollo Boulevard, and we're immediately to the left of Planet Fitness.
Is that the big American flag one?
Well, no, that is...
the smaller one in the plaza?
It's in the plaza. Yeah, that is actually an antique store
okay.
with the big American flag. But yeah.
So you need people. So tell our listeners, what is the day of Christy Stewart, the executive director of Love, Inc. like? Because you do a lot of outreach. I could see you in your office trying to talk to other churches, other people to come in and tell us like what is it you do for Love, Inc.?
Well, we are now bringing directors into place so that me as the executive director can get more out into the community because we want to come alongside other agencies and nonprofits and find the people in the community that have a heart for certain things.
You're looking for your tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you're doing in yeah. that office, looking for your tribe.
Yeah. So yes. really right now we're
like-minded
focusing
people.
Internally to build strong, because if our internal structure isn't super strong, then we're not going to be effective in the central and the northern part of the county. So we actually just brought on a new operations director last Monday. And so he's doing fantastic. But so right now we're looking internally and looking at our processes and our procedures and really saying, streamlining. The word that the Lord gave us this year is less is more. Okay, so we're asking ourselves a couple of questions. You know, are we still called to do this? Are we mobilizing the church? Do we have capacity to do this now? So we really want to hone in on what God is calling us to do specifically, because there's lots of amazing, great things that you can do. But to really hear and say, here's the focus. Now let's look for the like-minded people to help move that forward.
Right. And what about referrals? Are you getting a lot of referrals? Because I saw there's a group on Facebook called the Coronavirus.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's so many people on there looking for help.
Yes.
So how can someone reach out to Love, Inc. and say, I want to get into one of the programs where I'm going to help myself.
Yes.
And I'll take your hand up. How can someone reach you, or where are you getting your referrals?
Sure. So you can call us right on the phone. So our phone number is 321-253-9542. And we take a few minutes to explain that we want to build a relationship with people because we're not an emergency service.
Yes.
So we don't give out money. It doesn't mean that money isn't part of the process. We have opportunities in our thrift store where clients can volunteer to get furniture, appliances, houseware, clothing.
You want them to heal. You just don't want to give stuff for free. And I like that. It's like children. We're not going to just give our kids things. They got to work for it. Give me good grades. Give me good grades. Clean up your room. Show me you care. Yeah.
Yes. So we want to walk with people spiritually, physically, emotionally, and relationally.
Yes.
So that they can be set free. Because a lot of times it's a material need that brings us to a place of saying, oh my goodness, there's so much more that God wants to do through me in this need. And so as far as what we're seeing right now, we are seeing a lot of elderly folks who are living in trailers that are breaking down. Now, we do home repair. That is one of the things that we do. We may ask our clients to take a budget class because their house is going to break again, right? So we want to help them get to a place where they're sustainable. But we're also, because we're learning all about the community, we know other places where they may be able to get connected to get those needs met as well. So it's all working together.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that coronavirus.
It's such a long name.
Yeah.
It's Samantha.
Facebook page. Yeah. So we have, thank you so much. We do keep our eyeballs on that. And we have had several clients that have come directly from that. I'm thinking one gal in particular who had a need. She was a restaurant worker. And I want to talk about my sponsor today because that ties into restaurant working as well. But she became one of our clients and we came alongside her, got her replugged in with a church. And she's getting ready to start our budget mentoring class. So she is making great progress. We understand that with this pandemic, we are a hand up, not a handout, but you have to have relief and restoration. They have to go hand in hand. So one of the things that has continued for us this second year of the virus is that we've been able to help families with gift cards to, say, Publix, where they can have pre-made food delivered to them if their family is going through having an active, COVID
situation. Yeah.
So we've been able to help a lot of people that way. We have a specific COVID fund. So if people want to give directly to that fund, they're welcome to continue to help people in that way.
Yeah. Ellen hit on a good point there with the budget, but sometimes, people have lost their jobs. They have lost the ability to work because of an illness, and there's nothing left to budget. Mm-hmm. There's nothing coming in.
Yes.
So, I mean, what do you say to people who come to you and say, look it, I've lost everything?
Yes.
This coronavirus affected a lot of people. Yes. People lost their jobs. They couldn't pay their bills. They couldn't take care of their families. Yes. So what do you say to them? I mean, you have to have a lot of compassion. You have to have a lot of respect for fellow human beings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a situation. I think we all get in situations in our life where we need that help. And so I think just having that compassion and that love, and it's a great opportunity for the church to come around them and help them and get involved in their life. And, for some people, the Bible talks about widows and orphans. I see the elderly in that category. I see someone like this in that category for a time where we can come alongside them and it becomes that mutual, pull up and pull down. If you think of someone that's fallen, when you reach down to help them up, they're contributing, right?
Yeah.
So I would say to that person, first of all, there are a lot of great resources in our community. So let's see what resources that we can help pull together.
Yeah, and you partner with a lot of agencies as well.
Yes. Yeah. And so let's see what's already out there in the community that we can help come alongside them.
What do you feel, Christy, are, let's say, maybe three of our greatest needs here?
Affordable housing is a really, really big deal. There are a lot of great agencies that are focused on that. And so I do believe that there will be some real tangible solutions coming in the future. So affordable housing, I would say, this may not seem like a problem, but I think maybe it's because we live, so close to the coast, but I think really people to open their eyes and not look so at themselves and really say, how can I come alongside my neighbor? How can I come alongside my brother? So that is a emotional, spiritual need, right?
Right. A return to it takes a village.
Exactly. Right. We think we are just focusing on those tangible physical needs, but
me.
Yes. Because if we could all just come together, and it's not that we have to do everything, but what is the one or two thing that you can do to give back?
Right. You may not have cash, but maybe you could help paint a home. Maybe
exactly.
You can help repair the trailer, like you said.
Exactly.
You know,
or maybe somebody cry.
Or maybe you can just pray.
Yeah.
You know, we've had elderly people who are homebound, and they're like, I've got nothing to give. Yes, you do.
Knowledge.
You can
wisdom.
Pray, and you can stuff some envelopes, and you can share your stories. Our stories are, you know, one thing that changes people's lives, right? Is
right.
What have we experienced?
Right. And, you know, I've been telling people that a lot, that you know, we all learn from history. We learn from each other. We learn from life experiences. We learn from the past mistakes. Mm-hmm. We also learn from forgiveness.
Amen.
And we learn from prayer. And what I hear from you sometimes, because I enjoy praying, I know a lot of people don't believe in God or a higher power or creator. I happen to.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you're Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Baha'i, Jewish, whatever you are. That's your right if you don't want to believe in it. And I'm not going to judge anybody for that. But I find personally, when I pray, I feel good. And I think I hear that a lot from you. And your face is so happy. You have such a good aura.
Oh, thank you.
How do you convey that to people who walk into Love, Inc. and probably hadn't been to church for a while, or temple or synagogue, and they're like, they're a non-believer, and you say, well, let's pray together. How do you handle that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can tell you that what you're seeing in me is the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of the trinities of God. And so, again, just sharing what God's done in my life. And I will pray and ask anybody to pray, because I know that there's power in that. So regardless of what that, God has brought that person before me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always walk into that opportunity to say, how can I pray for you? Because I believe that's where, you know, true freedom lies.
Right. And the work you're doing, Christy, and giving back to the community, you need resources, you need volunteers, you need money, you need time, you need energy. Where does Love, Inc. get most of their funding from, and how can our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends contribute?
So our website is lovingbrevard.com. And actually, we have a great new video right on the front page that I'd love for people to view. It talks about our future and where we're going. But on there is a donate button. And you can also tap on the volunteer tab as well, and you can sign up for volunteer orientation right there on the website. And then there's a place in there as well where you can talk about any resources. If you're a business and you're willing to give a discount to our clients because they're working hard to get sustainable, you can do it right on our website.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with our friend Christy Stewart, and she's the executive director of Love, Inc., Brevard, right here in Brevard. It is it's a faith-based organization that equips and mobilizes the church to offer hope and help people in need in a dignified, respectable way. And they also empower people here in our town and all over. And I like what you're doing, because you don't discriminate against anyone who comes to Love,
right.
Inc. for help.
You serve everybody.
You serve everyone.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Now's probably a good time for Christy to talk about the sponsor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So one of our partners is called Hospitality Life. And it's a combination of hospitality industry owners, operators, and employees. And they provide resources and activities and service in order to bring forth a more abundant life for hospitality workers. So any hospitality worker that may have been hit hard by COVID, has a financial need, you can go right to their website, which is hospitalitylife.org. And we partner with them. So you fill out an application, and we do all the vetting to make sure it's a legitimate need. And then they will help you financially. But even more important than that, they have groups that they bring together, and they call them life groups, and they meet together twice a month. And maybe what I love about it is they bring together people with like-mindedness. Maybe you're an elderly person in the hospitality industry, so it's a group of maybe older people that have, you know, certain needs and certain things in common. there's always a teaching and a word of encouragement.
They shared a knowledge, and knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So what was the need during the coronavirus that you saw the most with the church, with Love Inc.?
I would say the greatest need
must have been food. I know a lot of people wanted food.
It was food. I believe that's changing now. But in the beginning, it was absolutely food. And then, of course, you joked earlier about the stimulus check. So I think once the stimulus money dries up, and now that people who are on unemployment have to actually, you know, do some work and apply for places, we're going to see more of an influx of people in need for financial issues. But I think food last year was a big thing, and we were able to provide a lot of food for different food banks. We did we worked with an organization called Hunger Fight, where we packaged, you know, different food. So yeah, I would say that was probably one of the biggest issues.
Yeah.
Food.
And you know, it's a shame. A lot of people did get the stimulus, and that word budget comes to mind, because, you know, I saw where a lot of people use their stimulus check for car repairs, mm-hmm. for tires. Mm-hmm. And then some people would boast and say, well, I got a TV and this and that.
Yeah.
You know, put it in the bank, dude. You don't know when you're going to need it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw when I booked you for the show, I had just read something on Facebook, and I like to share that with our listeners. It says, at the end of life, what really matters is not what we bought or what we built, not what we got, but what we shared. And it's our character that matters. It's not our success. We all have to live a life of love, and live a life that matters, and live a life of significance. Mm-hmm. And it kind of spells out Love Inc.
Yes.
and what you do.
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
So give our listeners one more time your website and your phone number, because we would like for people to check out the thrift shop. We'd like them to come and see what you're doing to help others. And I love the idea that you're meeting people halfway, and they have to meet you at some point as well.
Amen.
In order to heal themselves and lift themselves
and
up.
And I'd add one more way that you can donate that you might not have realized, that Amazon.com, if you still shop on Amazon.com, you can go to Smile Amazon and select Love Inc. of Brevard Incorporated.
Yes.
And that's in Melbourne, and that's an easy way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
so you. The website, he yes. said 30 seconds, your website?
LoveIncBrevard.com.
Right. And the sponsor who paid today for your other half was my good friend, Karen Weinberg-Weber from the Joint Chiropractic.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Karen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes.
God bless your business.
So once again, what a fantastic show today, Sita. We had a great discussion about the Minority Viewpoint book. With Sumi, and now with Christy Stewart from Love Inc. This is a fantastic show. Fantastic ways to get involved, folks. All of you who are listening, thank you so much for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we'll be back next week right here on 1:00 Eastern Standard Time.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.